Morning is from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, if you'd like to follow along. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is, Christ.
It is so good to be in the church. It's good to be a part of this family. It's good to be a part of the fellowship. During this week, we've said goodbye to people that we love. We've had people that were, like my friend Rick, who was really, really, really sick, and he still is, but he's doing a lot better today. And we are full of gratitude. We also have grief as we see the passing of people that we love. I just received word a little while ago that one of the families that goes to Pecos River Camp, the Paines, they have three beautiful teenage daughters. It was a terrible car wreck. And two of their daughters have gone on to be with the Lord. You need to remember them. If you know them, you will pray more sensitively, but need to remember this family. I can't imagine the grief that they're going through and the difficulty that they're facing in that time. And then I look around here and I see a lot of people back from vacations and back, you know, it's getting close to back to the regular scheduled events. We had new Bible classes begin today, and we had such great potential. The book of Corinthians, those letters are so important to us. It's like Paul was reading our mail. And so there's so many wonderful things we're going to be able to look at. And I congratulate those who picked the subjects, but I don't think we could have picked a better preface for 1 Corinthians than 1 and 2 Samuel, because we see the situations that are going on in the world have always been going on, and the answer is always the same. The just will live by faith. I look around and I see people I haven't seen in a long time, and it's so good to see you back. People that have been out of our fellowship and are back today, and we're glad about that. Isn't it good to be in the house of the Lord worshiping God? Amen. Isn't it good? Isn't it good to sing these glorious songs that we just sang? Some of them we didn't even know a year or two ago, and now we're singing. The singing was so beautiful. I was thinking about this book of 1 Corinthians and thinking about the masterful way the Apostle Paul, of course, the Holy Spirit inspired him, the masterful way that he dealt with so many varied and difficult subjects. There's at least 10 in that book that are facing the church today, even, and us today. And I was thinking about the way this former Pharisee, this fellow who had worked it out in his mind that Jesus was a blasphemer and that the answer to that problem was to kill him, turns into this great apostle who could speak so boldly and with so much love. And that's how I ended up over in the fourth chapter of Ephesians, where Paul tells us to speak the truth in love in verse 15. I want us to look at the few verses around that today and look at the amazing way that God gets us ready for the work that we have to do. We're going to start with verse 11. He said, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipment of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way unto Him who is the head, unto Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. Now this I affirm and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer live as Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them. Due to their hardness of heart, they have become callous and have given themselves up to licentiousness, greedy to practice every kind of uncleanness. You did not so learn Christ, assuming that you've heard about Him and were taught in Him, as the truth is in Jesus. But put off your old nature, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through the deceitful lust, and be renewed by the Spirit, and put on the new nature, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This passage tells us how Paul teaches. It tells us how he rules as an apostle. And it tells us how we can be the people that we ought to be. Paul always goes to the principle behind the commandment. He always goes to the principle behind the sin, so that we will have an understanding as to why we do things and why we don't do things. We don't always listen to Paul. Sometimes we're calloused, as he talks about, and sometimes we're hard-hearted and we want our way. He would call that the old nature. But he's encouraging these Christians in Ephesus, just like he encourages those Christians in Corinth, to be new people, a new kind of people. And I want us to make another little quick trip through this in Ephesians, and maybe it'll be a good introduction for us as we go into Corinthians in the next few weeks. In verse 11, he tells us that God has given us gifts. When we think of the gifts, we always think about Jesus, of course. There's no gift like that. No one loves you more than the one who would give you his own son. We think about the life that Jesus laid down. No one could take it away from him. He laid it down of his own accord so that we could live. No greater love is no man than this, than a man give his life for us. We think about that gift, but God never quits giving. He gives us everything we need. Peter would tell us, for life and godliness, everything we need, everything. There's no other place we need to go. A one-stop shop to be equipped. In verse 11, he said we receive these gifts by God, and he tells us in verse 12 he does that to equip us so that we'll be able to do the job that we're put on this planet to do. We're put here to glorify God. We're put here to become more like Him. We're put here to grow in Christ. And it takes a lot of work, and it takes equipment. He said some of the things He gives us is so that we can do our work, and some of the things He gives us is so that we can be strong enough to do the work that we're here for. There's no one here for no reason. We're all here for this thing. The body in its entirety, that's the church, and individual members of it need to be built up. We're too weak. We're too flabby. We're too immature. The job we have to do is going to demand courage. The job that we have to do is going to demand strength. The job that we have to do demands endurance. This is a long race, and it's a hard job. And so He gives us what we need so that we can be equipped. Oh, doesn't He love us? He didn't just put us here and say, watch this. They'll never be able to do this. But He loves us and He equips us and He gives us what we need. In verse 13, He tells us we all need We all need the unity of the faith. We need each other. We need to do the job that we have to do, but we need to do it together. We all need the knowledge of the Son of God, he tells us. We all need to be mature. We need to grow up. Some of us have been too immature for too long. And Paul would say, we need to grow up. This is the time we're called to a job that only adults can do. We're called to a job that demands maturity. I can promise you that family that's grieving their daughters wish they had more maturity today. The task that they have ahead for them is almost insurmountable, but they can do it, but we have to be mature to do that. We all need to measure up to Christ. He has set a standard for us. He's told us how to live. He's shown us how to live, and he wants us to look like him, to measure up. At our house, we have a closet that on the door frame of that closet, we have little marks where the grandchildren, when they were little, we drew their height. And as they grew, we drew their height higher and higher. They have discovered that the mark that I put up at the top of the map of the door frame that said Pa by it, that I might have fudged a little. Because some of them have passed me and they thought, that's still a ways up there. So what has happened? But with Christ, he doesn't fudge at all. He gives us the picture of what a man should be like. He gives us a picture of what someone that is close to God will look like. And we all need to measure up. We all need to stand up. We all need to grow strong and become more like Jesus. He tells us in verse 13, we all need to be filled up with Christ. He says to receive the fullness of Christ, to be filled with him. You know that there's whole corners of our life, maybe whole rooms in our house that Christ hasn't even entered into. We need to be filled with him. And when we fill up with enough of Christ, there's not much room for anything else. And then we've reached maturity. Verse 14 says, we all need to grow up. We all need to not be misled. We need that. We need to be wise enough to know truth when we see it. Bad men, he tells us in verse 14, will always have bad ideas. And some people will believe anything. That shouldn't be you. It shouldn't be us. But some people will believe anything. And some people will say anything. In verse 15, he tells us what we should do. Speak the truth in love. Some people get part of the lesson and they tell the truth all the time, but no one wants to listen to them because they don't care about you. They don't care about anything. They just like to condemn. He says, speak the truth in love. If someone loves me, they can say anything they want to say. Even if I don't like it, I will listen. He says, speak the truth in love. We all need to grow up to Christ. He is the head, he tells us. It is from Christ we get this unity that we must have in order to succeed. He tells us in verse 16, it's in Christ that we get the true nourishment we need so that we can be strong and grown up and mature. This is how the body of Christ grows strong. It grows strong in Christ. It does not grow strong in gimmicks. It does not grow strong in personalities. It does not grow strong in advertising or any other thing that we might think, well, this is the answer to it all. The answer to every question is Christ. The answer to every dilemma is Christ. The answer to our every need is Christ. This is how we do it. He describes this in verse 16 like an athlete in training. He grows strong and he grows together. When we have people helping us or working with us, or even if we're talking about our own body, every muscle is important. A really good coach does not just say run faster, jump higher, get stronger. He teaches you how your whole body works together. I saw a fellow one time that was throwing the shot put, and he said, "Today I'm learning how to use my fingers." And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, and I knew he had heard this many times, he said, "Every muscle in your body works together, even that at the end." When everything works together, the body is fit. You can see me running and you know he's never been trained. Some of those muscles are working against getting to the sideline, getting to the finish line. Sideline's where I want to go. Getting to the finish line. It slips out. Truth always slips out. When we grow as a body and we grow strong together. All working together, no wasted effort, no disability holding us back. Verse 17, he says, when we learn the truth, we learn the thoughts that we must stop thinking and the deeds that we must stop doing. He says it this way, don't live like the Gentiles live. You know, there are people that don't know what you know. They don't know better than what they do. They think that getting revenge is a good thing. They think that if something's laying around and you're not taking care of it, it's theirs by right of conquest. They think that if a lie will get you out of an immediate jam, then lie. They don't know what you know. And he says, quit living like Gentiles. There's something more expected of you. I've told you many times about my mother and father. My dad used to have his one of his pat answers, "They are not my sons. And I expect more out of you because you're my son." One time he even told me, "We don't spit on people." You can imagine what I just got through doing. Do you know I've never spit on anybody on purpose since then? Sometimes when I'm talking about slothfulness, it might get out a little, but not on purpose. We no longer live like Gentiles. That's what he's saying. This equipment that he gives us, this body that we have, this work that we're involved in, makes it possible for us to live a different kind of life. It makes it possible for us to live as upright beings in a crooked world. It makes it possible for us to be the children of light in a dark place. It makes it possible for us to be kind in a mean world. It makes it possible for us to be a holy people. It makes us possible for us to be Christians. We no longer live like that because their thoughts hurt them and hurt other people. Verse 18, he says, they don't understand. They don't know. They can't even feel what they should feel because of their ignorance and their hardness of heart. It's like calluses make it difficult for you to feel things like you used to feel. They have no guilt when they practice uncleanness. This does not come from Christ, he tells us. And then he tells us in verse 22 to put off the old nature and put on the new nature. Now, this is not only the commandments that he tells us and the rules and regulations. It's also a great compliment. Listen to me, church. It's a great compliment that God is paying to human beings. He's saying, I'm going to give you the rules. I'm going to give you my law. I'm going to reveal myself to you so you'll know what I like and what I don't like. I'm even going to tell you what the consequences are. And I'm going to give you the equipment and the energy and the help that you need to accomplish this. I want you to succeed at this. And I want you to trust me. So I'm going to trust you to do this. Isn't that something? He could have left that little part out of us. Our DNA could look just slightly different, and we wouldn't have choice. The world would be a smoother place, wouldn't it? But we wouldn't get this one beautiful privilege And this one great compliment, I want you to love me, and I want you to serve me because you want to. And you can do it. Yes, you can. You can do it. Dogs and cats and birds and bats, they do what they do because they're programmed to do that. But not you. Not my people. Not the church. You're holy because you want to be holy. You're holy because you want to look like my son. You're holy because you love me. And you say no to things you want to do because you trust me. That makes God not only look good, but it pleases Him so much. And when we say no to Him, it breaks His heart. He gets no pleasure out of the death of the unrighteous. But He loves us. He loves us enough not only to do all of these things that He does and to give us all the equipment that He gives us and all of the rules. We know exactly what He wants from us, but He loves us enough to let us decide. Oh my. Why wouldn't you love a God like that? Why wouldn't you? You know why the prodigal came home, don't you? He knew his father. And you know why we're here today, don't you? Choose God. Make Him happy today. What does He say when one comes home? Angels in heaven start rejoicing. Let the party begin. Won't you come to Him while we stand and sing?